I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 44, Centennial Cup, final game of the regular season, Hobart and University of Rochester, Saturday 1 o'clock at Boswell Field. We're back with the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Good to see you again.
Good morning. Good to have you.
So you called it last time. It was a battle. You got off to a big lead, and then RPI punched back, and they went with that hurry-up, and it was kind of a fight for your life down at the end.
Yeah, I think we knew RPI was going to be a talented team. They're a team that plays, for a lot of reasons, they just play better at home. So we knew a couple things, them being at home, them having that extra week of preparation, both resting up some of their guys, the extra week of preparation, having 2 weeks to get ready for an opponent is an advantage. And I also knew we were having some injuries and some different things that could kind of play out, and it, unfortunately it did. Proud of the way our guys, you know, they were focused. They jumped off to a really strong start. And honestly, like, even when things weren't necessarily going in our favor there in the second half, you know, being able to have some certain guys step up and make some key plays to secure the win, you need that. And that's kind of honestly been our MO this year. Like, there's very few games where I think we've just kind of rolled out the football saying, hey, we're clearly better than everyone. We've had to outperform and outperform certain teams, and that's usually taken all three phases, and that showed. I mean, defense got a key stop when they needed to. Offense got a key conversion when we needed to. Special teams had some plays. And that's what you got to do. In our conference, there's not many easy games, and I think it was a good thing for us in the end to be able to find different ways. We had to do that earlier in the year, and I think I kind of challenged the guys last Friday before we played RPI that you got to get your mind in that mindset of just in case we're down, just in case, you know, they take a lead late, you know, all right, we have to rally and find a way. And sometimes when we had three or four convincing wins, even though the score was convincing, they were kind of close all the way until later in the game. I thought it was a good thing for us to have to go out and execute in the fourth quarter and just kind of remember and relive those moments because, again, whether that's this weekend or any future games, I think it's a good experience to have.
RPI had great success with the hurry-up. Whoever your NCAA opponent is, we'll take a look at that. Is there anything you're going to have to do different defensively to try to get those subs in there or try to counter other teams trying to do that?
Yeah, I think what RPI did, and I think, again, having the 2 weeks to prepare was important for them. We also weren't at full strength, and I think that they were able to find some key matchups. They were fresher at the line of scrimmage. They were able to run the ball and protect the quarterback better than they had in some of their previous games. I thought they had a really good game plan, and they were efficient. And there were some other games where they maybe their quarterback play was not as efficient. I thought their quarterback play was solid against us. Receivers made some contested catches. The running backs ran hard. And in the end, I mean, we've also been spoiled to a certain extent that, I mean, our defense was so used to not being scored on that, you know, giving up three scores isn't a huge deal. You know, it just happened to be one of those where we were kind of used to, you know, shutouts and, you know, our defense only giving up, you know, one possession or, you know, a second score. So I think in a good way, I think it was good for the offense to get off to a strong start and then, you know, be able to execute. And obviously we could have probably scored at the end. We were just trying to win the game and kill the clock versus putting points on the board. But, you know, for the most part, I went back to the second quarter and we really showed situations where we should have extended the lead and we didn't. And just, you know, I was fired up in a good way, you know, and showing our guys coachable moments in terms of how to beat teams. And we prepared like that was a playoff game. That was a road playoff game. That was our mindset. And if that's the case, we got to make sure that we maximize those possessions, whether that's a first or second quarter possession all the way to the last possession. And I thought there was a one or two special teams plays a couple times on defense, on offense, where not that our guys got complacent, but our execution wasn't to the point where we needed to be if we're going to go beat a good team on the road like a solid RPI team.
You got a big sack of Kazanowski to effectively end the game, but it was the only one you got, and you're now last in the Liberty League in quarterback sacks. And we've talked about sacks isn't the only thing because you get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but is there something you think you have to do to step that up?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a little bit of our D-line play to begin with. Last year, you know, Connor Gunn and a couple of the other guys, statistically, you know, Connor led our league in sacks. We've been getting a lot of our pressures from our linebacking core. I think the D-line, especially early in the season, we were playing more run-based teams. So, like, the stats are sometimes deceiving if you're playing teams that aren't throwing as much. So you're right. But I think as a whole, we're not winning as much on our one-on-ones here. I think the bye week hopefully helps get some guys a little bit fresher. As our defense especially was, you know, we've played in a lot of close games. We've rotated, but, you know, there was a handful of our starters and our two deep that, you know, they were feeling it. You could see the difference up front against RPI that they were fresher at the point of attack than we were. Honestly, on both lines of scrimmage, but especially with our their O-line versus our D-line. That being said, I still think I thought we had a good scheme in there. We missed a couple. But as a whole, if we're going to continue to win this week and move forward, we're going to need really good productive play, not just stop on the run, but being able to generate a consistent pass rush against other teams' quarterbacks.
You scored on your first three possessions, and then it got a lot tougher after that. Did they do something different offensively? Or I know you left some points on the board. Like you said, you got the 80-yard kickoff return from Tristan Reynolds and then couldn't score.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate time. We'd been pretty good in the score zone. Honestly, the you know, sometimes you have to settle for a field goal. I think we were in a good spot where we missed a couple plays that were close throws, or, you know, they RPI was a high pressure team on some of those third and medium, third and short situations. We had just missed on a couple possible completions. The turnover in the score zone was a combination of they gave us a slightly different coverage than what we were anticipating. Unfortunately, we missed the protection, which then put someone in Johnny's face. He was trying to throw it. And a location that was then affected, really an inopportune time for, you know, us not converting on what was a really good field position from the kickoff return. That being said, honestly, even, you know, they didn't slow us down, really, that we didn't punt until the fourth quarter. It was the possession time. If you look at it, we had 2-1 time of possession in the first half. We were possessing it. We were fresh. And then just the way that works in terms of flipping it in the third quarter, they had it in time of possession. We got a field goal on our first possession. So really, you would argue 4 out of our first 5, and honestly, we should have scored right before half. That's where I say, like, we had a conversion that would have been first and 10 at the plus 18 with about 50-some seconds and a timeout. I feel good that we would have gotten points there. That was called back because of a controllable error on our end. We didn't have enough guys in the line of scrimmage. That was a mistake, a mental mistake. And then the next play, we took a sack that took us out of field goal range. And, you know, I'll take some of the blame on that, but it also comes back to execution. And I put that on me. I told the guys on Sunday, I got greedy in the sense of I put a younger player against one of their better players, and it didn't work out in our favor in that one. It worked out in our favor in other plays. But ultimately, I thought we had two back-to-back possessions, the turnover and then right before half, that we should have gotten at least points out of that. And all of a sudden that lead feels a little bit different. That allowed them to still stay patient in the run game in the second half. So I just showed them the ramifications of when you have opportunity to score and get points or to get people off the field, we got to capitalize regardless of the score, because I felt like we could have put that away in the second quarter. We kind of left it lingering at half. Again, the third quarter, we only had the one possession. We went and scored. We literally had one possession for the third quarter, went and scored. It was the fourth down, the fourth quarter where we were backed up. I could see that our defense, the momentum had changed a little bit. I was a little bit more cautious in the sense of I didn't want to give them a short field and an easy one, being that at that point it was still a two-possession game. And then we obviously got more aggressive as we needed to. And I also credit the fact that RPI's defense made a couple plays that they didn't make in the first half. But I don't think it was so much adjustments. It was more the execution piece.
Johnny Colombi threw for 258, 3 touchdowns. He's first in the league in yards, second in efficiency. He can certainly make a case for first-team all-league at quarterback. Just talk a little bit about his progression over the years. I mean, he's very quietly. He's now up in the top 10, up towards 5 or 6 in some of the passing categories. We said last year that if he could take back maybe 3 or 4 throws a game, and I think this year he is. He's not making those throws, yeah. And he just seems to get, not spectacular, but just a little better, a little better, a little better each year, each week.
Yeah, his knowledge and preparation, and I've said it, it probably sounds redundant, but like his preparation is elite in terms of the amount of time he puts in, his note-taking skills, watching film, knowing personnel. We had a meeting this morning, and I think he knows the game plan as well as I do, which is what you want from your starting quarterback. And his leadership is just contagious. You can tell it affects the entire quarterback room. It affects the entire offense, the entire team. He is a no-ego, great leader in the sense of, like, if he takes a hit that was someone else's fault, he doesn't point fingers. He keeps his level headed. He's an extreme competitor. I mean, he goes in a very special list of quarterbacks that I've coached in terms of their level of preparation and competitiveness. I want him on my team. And I would trust him playing safety. I would trust him playing defensive back, any other position, because I know how he'll attack it. And I think at the quarterback position, you love to have selfless type leaders like that. So, and he's a competitive guy in the sense of, like, he wants to get better. So, like, when he threw that interception down the score zone, I'll always put the blame on me as the play caller. You know, we were expecting man. It came in zone. He was going to give us an easy out, and we were going to play for either the field goal or the fourth down, go for it. He was just getting hit because the protection broke down. He never once pointed fingers. He took the ownership on him, is what you want a good leader to do. So I've just been really pleased with his progress. And, you know, we go as far as he's going to take us in terms of the decision-making. Some of his best plays the last three or four games have been audibles and things that people in the stands would never understand. He's getting us in the right plays. You know, will he throw a pick? Will there be a tip ball? Will there be something? He doesn't have to play perfect, but he's just doing a really good job. I love what you said earlier, his efficiency. And I think as a quarterback, that's a huge trait. Statistically, he's doing well. I think you know, this year, you talked about early in the year. I mean, you go back to the Alford game. There was a lot of people questioning our passing game. We've come a long ways with younger receivers getting experience with health at that position, obviously shoring up the offensive line. I mean, it all works together. But when you have a quarterback that could care less whether we run for 400 or throw for 400, you love the fact that he's going to try to get us in the best play possible, whether that's a first and 10 or that's a fourth and 3. And I really do trust the fact of we're going to get him in positions to make decisions. You could go across the board on offense, you know, in terms of we're going to have some all-conference O-linemen in consideration. You know, I think the productivity of the receiver position has been a huge jump from last year. You look at the running back position, EJ is consistent and running really hard there. You know, so across the board, our offense, it's a team group effort, and you can just tell when we're playing well together, putting 11 strong on the same page, we've been a pretty efficient offense. And even though sometimes earlier in the season it was tougher to come across with some points, I thought it was good the last couple of games we've been able to score earlier and help our defense. And obviously in the RPI game that was significant to give our defense the lead and help us early. We also saw last year, you know, the team we're going to play here at Rochester was really good on defense, and they held us down last year. So we also know you're only as good as your next play. And we've been focused in the bye week to figure out if we can become even more efficient for this upcoming Saturday.
One of those weapons in the passing game is Johnny Harding. He doesn't look like a first year anymore.
No, he has a maturity that's different than a lot of the other first years. He came in athletically and obviously jumped off early in preseason. We knew he was going to be pretty good, but his development has been really strong in the point where, like, not a lot of people are talking about as a returner, but he's very efficient as a returner, as a punt returner right now. And just is a guy that is a football intelligent player. Like, he gets coverages, he understands how to create space, which for a guy of his size, he's not the biggest. He is pound for pound a really tough individual. And I'm excited because, like I said, I think his best years are in front of him. Obviously this year, he's already a better player this year than he was, you know, 2 weeks ago. And we're hoping that that'll stay consistent. If he stays hungry and stays focused on improving, his development will go through the charts.
EJ Taylor ran for exactly 100 yards. So this time he didn't have to settle for 99. And the thing about it, again, another game, no yards lost the entire game. Every run was at least back to the line of scrimmage or beyond. That's a big thing.
It's huge, and I think that's where at times last year we were we had different types of backs that sometimes would not always be able to have the same physicality that he does finishing forward. And believe me, he had a run yesterday that was extremely elusive. He is faster and quicker than most would think because of his size, but I love the fact he's really embraced the physical mentality. That's been contagious to everybody. And I think he's a pretty special back already as a sophomore. And again, another guy that we're excited. We're talking about first years and sophomores in terms of guys that as this offense continues to grow and develop, we're going to be able to continue to add playmakers around at other positions. And we're a deeper team this year than we were last year. And that was true from the year before. Every year we're going to get stronger. We're going to get physically improved skill sets and development, and we're going to continue to recruit, so our depth is only going to continue to improve.
We've seen the tight end group get a little bit healthier. Kevin Christ has been back a little bit. We've seen Lucas Ruby in a few plays. Tell us about this triple tight end set that you run from time to time.
Yeah, well, coming into the season, we thought it was going to be a really strong group of, and it is. I mean, I love our group of tight ends, but we went quickly to, you know, Kevin got injured in game one, and Lucas got injured in game four. So where we were originally being able to rotate in three, four, five tight ends, I mean, two games ago, we only had two healthy ones. So last week, we kind of Kevin was starting to come back. He's still kind of, you know, getting back to full health. You know, Lucas is not truly back yet, but I love that he's focused and ready to be there. He's getting a lot of mental reps and is working on his rehab. And, you know, the bye week has helped in some positions in the sense of, like, I don't know if someone magically gets, you know, completely healthy in a week, but, like, you know, we were able to get some guys some needed rest, I think. We were smart on getting reps for the twos and threes and resting some of the ones, and hopefully that'll show out on Saturday in terms of just our physicality and our execution. So it was a welcomed bye week after having, you know, essentially like plus preseason, you know, 11, 12 weeks straight of playing and competing, and it's a physical sport, and our guys are feeling it. And I think that showed a little bit on all three phases. As that RPI game went on, you could see the difference of freshness. And I think that was one of the reasons why the game was as close as it was in the second half. So hopefully that's an advantage for us coming off of this bye week.
It seems like that triple tight end set gives you a lot of options. The defense is automatically thinking power run that way, but you've gone away from it with runs to the other side or passes out of that set. So, you know, the defense can't just assume that it's a run package.
Yeah, we've done more. Honestly, if you're watching us this year, we're probably not as multiple formations and multiple personnel groupings as we've typically been. Part of that was the health early on with some injuries. But tight ends are always that position that gives you a ton of versatility. You know, Luke Hescock can go landlocked. He can be outside wide with his frame. Ryan Himmen is a converted athletic quarterback, so his versatility. Kevin Chris was a running back. So most of these guys were other positions or really good athletes that we've kind of trained them and coached them to be tight ends. So, you know, we don't necessarily have that prototypical, like, 250-pound guy that's just a blocking tight end. So I think that gives guys, you know, the ability to be threats in both the run and the pass. And when our offense is really good and clicking, we typically 12 personnel, the one running back, two tight ends, two wide receiver set is a pretty good one for us. We were that heavier earlier in the season. We haven't been that as of late. And again, a lot of that depends on how defenses are playing us and matchups. But tight ends are our secret sauce in terms of those guys. It's a hard position to play here. They have to know as much as our quarterbacks, so there's a reason why, like, those are some of our smartest and brightest and most versatile guys as well. And all of our guys on offense, there's a lot of learning to be had, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for the tight ends because it is a high-demand position, but they're also key ingredients to when we're playing well. Typically, the tight end position is playing well as well.
Defensively, everybody knows about your linebacker core. I'm still amazed watching that group because one play, they're blitzing. Another play, they're 30 yards downfield making an interception.
Yeah, I think the athleticism of our perimeter guys showed out well again. I mean, you saw the interceptions by Jamin and Mike McGee in that game early. And again, that was the thing, is like RPI was still moving the ball early. We were just getting stops in the first half. And then when they were able to score, to their credit, they hit us on a couple man plays and beat man-to-man. But we weren't as healthy inside, and I think that showed, and they were trying to pick on some of those curls and some of those underneath zones. And like I said, the biggest thing for us is I don't think we defended the run as well, and that allowed them to, you see the time of possession, they stayed on the field. Although they didn't rip us in the run, it was running it well enough to pass it. And I think that's where, when we've played better in those, you know, the previous weeks, we've been able to kind of eliminate the run a little bit. So that's a focus for us, and we're hoping that, because Rochester is a run-first type of team, as we face them, you know, they're going to have a handful of running backs. They're experienced in the O-line and tight end group, and there are a lot of quick game passes. So, honestly, like, the RPI film is going to be something that I'm sure the Rochester staff is looking at and looking at how they can attack our defense.
If you talk about defending the run, their top run carrier was Caden White. He had 12 carries. Longest run was 7 yards.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, the difference part is they ran the quarterback. They did some other things there. Some of the stats, you know, again, not always running it to get yardage, but running it to get conversion. So some of the third down and short situations, they actually chose to run the quarterback a little bit more in that game. And, again, like I said, it wasn't like we got devastated against the run game, but just in situations where there was maybe a little bit more push or knock back at the point of attack with their O-line against our D-line and our linebackers than maybe we had seen through the previous weeks.
One of the things I've noticed in the last couple of weeks is the guys in the secondary making tackles in the run game. I mean, we're seeing Smith and Dixon and, I mean, of course, Ambielli. Those guys are coming up and supporting the run.
Yeah, that's the one thing, and we've always prided it back to even when I was coaching the DBs. We always talked about that group being physical when you need to tackle. They shouldn't be our leading tacklers with what we do schematically, but being trustworthy tacklers. And we go back to, you know, our first league game. You talked about Chris Toomba and having some key tackles in that game. You know, both Chris and Z, who are getting most of the reps at corner, are both those guys have really worked to develop their bodies, the pound-for-pound strong physical kids, and then they're not afraid to come up and make tackles. And then our safeties, especially in the run game, between Alex Smith and Zach Ambielli, both those guys, and the difference for them. And again, no one's perfect. Everyone's, and every now and then is going to miss. But our tackling efficiency is higher this year from those two at the safety positions than they were last year. So that shows me their growth and development, both physically, but from a tactical standpoint, we're you know, knock on wood here, we've been a better open field tackling team, which is what you hope as teams try to, you know, throw those underneath routes and they're hoping for the run after the catch. If you're able to make that tackle, you know, keep them behind the chains and then they have to make those decisions. So, yeah, as a group, you know, Coach Green and the entire defensive staff, they pride themselves on, you know, a handful of different opportunities on our defense to play aggressive. And one of the things is how to tackle and to be able to make those open field tackles. And again, that's going to be something that we're going to need to do well this week with Rochester's quick game, their screen game, you know, their running backs. You'll see the difference of, are we making the tackle and they're gaining 4 or 5 yards after contact, or are we able to make a tackle and kind of limit that forward progress?
Of course, in the kicking game, Toby Weffering gets the career field goal mark, and Lyon just keeps being one of the best in the country. I mean, he could be an All-American.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, but we have two specialists that are doing really well at their specific traits, and obviously Vicente's a good kicker and Toby's a good punter, but we've been able to, and I think it's worked out well, keep each of them fresh by focusing on mostly their respective kicking duties. But, you know, we didn't punt until the fourth quarter. We had two punts, and Vicente was huge in both of those two punts. You know, you think about it, his ability to stay in the moment, stay in the game. Imagine being a punter and not knowing when you're going to need to be punted. You got to be ready at all times. And all of a sudden here, the game goes, you know, multiple hours before you've punted. You know, he's been practicing on the sideline to be able to come in and do it clutch. I have a lot of respect for that, as well as the same as a kicker. Is like maybe you haven't had your number called, and all of a sudden you got to come in and kick a field goal. So I give a lot to those two guys and their mental preparation as well. Of yes, the physical execution has been there, and I compliment those respective units in terms of our protections and whatnot. But to me, the between the ears mental focus and the mental toughness of those two guys, I have as much respect for that as what they're doing physically. So they are weapons for us. There's no doubt that they're two of the best, not only in the league, but in the country at those respective positions. And we talked about special teams being special. It starts with having the right guys in those moments, be able to make plays. And, each of them has probably missed a punt or missed a kick at some point, but the body of work for those two guys has been really strong this year.
I mean, you could argue that 86-yarder from the 1 yard line was a season changer.
A play, I mean, yeah, it was a significant play, and there's a reason why he got the game ball for that game. But I also, like, there was a punt against Union into the wind that was changed the field position. There's a lot of these clips that not always just an 86 that's a big stat driver, but sometimes a 50-yard punt into a win versus, you know, give an extra 15 yards less, that's substantial. And, you know, I think Toby's made some key field goals, so I congratulate him. And you know, Kyle Hackett had a fantastic career, both from a season and a career. And, you know, to beat him past those marks is obviously a credit to Toby. And we have other games to play, so hopefully he can stay consistent. But, you know, I think of, you know, what a missed field goal does in those early drives. You know, all of a sudden those points matter. Those two field goals that he made are the difference in the score there. So, you know, sometimes we saw that earlier in the year where some teams are not getting points. We've tried to get points when we can. We're not always perfect on it, but we've been pretty good on our fourth down efficiency, whether we're going for it or whether we're kicking. That's always been a big deal for us is getting points when we can. And sometimes you need to get seven or hope to get seven. Sometimes it's really good to know you have three in your back pocket on a regular basis too, and that's come to our favor.
University of Rochester this week, the Centennial Cup game. You don't need it to get an NCAA tournament berth. Do you treat this game any differently in terms of who comes out there at the beginning? Of course, the possible bye plays into it. Do you just treat this like any other game and go full speed
ahead?
Ted,
this is a must win. This is a home playoff game in our mindset for a lot of reasons. I think the reality is, and I told our guys, in a way I wish we still needed the win to get in, because human nature is going to try to tell you to let off. I just think momentum is so important in our sport, and you know, coming off of a bye, you know, there's arguments you could be rusty, you could be a whole lot of things. Rochester, the last couple of years, this is going to be a huge game for them. They're playing for a bowl game themselves. They're playing for a postseason, which they haven't done in many years. There's obviously the connection with the head coach being a Hobart alum. There's a handful of reasons that this is going to be a big game on their end, on top of the Centennial Cup and whatnot. Well, it's also a big game on our end. And I think, yes, you're in the playoffs, but you're also playing for the best possible opportunity. So in terms of matchups, in terms of, you know, a bye, a home game, all these things that are really out of our control, other than, to me, our goal was never to be co-champions. Our job was to go be league champions. So even though we would win the tiebreaker, we like to share at home. I'm teaching my kids to share. I also told our guys, this is not something we want to share right now. So in our eyes, we're treating this as a must-win. So in terms of who you're going to see, we are going to honor our seniors. So you'll see some seniors out there. Most of our seniors are having a large role, but we are playing this thing as a must-win for a lot of reasons. You know, we talked about it, and some of that will stay within the team, but there's a lot of focus on this game that our guys, we need to be playing our best ball yet. I've challenged them. We have not played a full 60 minutes yet, and for a team that has the possibility of winning 9 regular season games, that says a lot that we haven't even played our best ball yet. And it goes with how this team has been special, as we've been focusing week in, week out on getting our 1-0. And every game's different, every matchup's different. And I promise you, there's not anybody on our level talking about postseason and all that. Our job is to go win this game, which we know it's going to be a tough matchup against a team that is going to be coming in prepared and ready to go for us.
Daniel Papantonis is as good a running back as there is in the Liberty League, maybe in the country. He's been out. Do you know anything? He's not listed on their two deep. Are we pretty sure we're not going to see him?
No, I don't believe that, because 2 years ago he was injured and he played against us. He's a, I will tell you, he's a very good player. Their offense is better with him back there. I would think him. I think EJ. I think there's you know, the Ithaca running back. There's a handful of good running backs in our conference, but statistically, he's up there. And again, you could see the difference in the last couple of games with him out. They are just a different offense with him in there. Now, they still have other good backs. They're really productive. You know, he unfortunately had an injury. You could kind of see it on film, and we don't know the severity of it. Not listening to the 2D, but I also know he's a fifth-year senior. He's a tough, competitive player. If he can go, he's going to go. We probably won't know until game time if he's out there suited up. And like I said, I have a lot of respect for him. I knew him a little bit from the recruiting process. I have a lot of respect for how he competes. My hunch is if he's healthy enough to go, he'll go. But if he can't, I know that they'll be well-prepared, the fact that they've played a couple games without him.
You've been facing a lot of real veteran quarterbacks this year. Ryan Rose is another one. He's a senior. He's been around. He's done some damage to Hobart in the past.
Yeah, his last 2 years, he's played us better and better each year. So, you can see the experience of it. He's got some really athletic receivers, a couple bigger receivers. They have a really good group there. When you look at it, and you look at Rochester's start of the season, I mean, they were playing really, really well. And I think they still are playing well. I think the difference is a couple injuries and just a little bit of productivity the last couple games. You know, they've lost a couple, but I look at it from an experience standpoint. I don't know if there's a more experienced team in our conference from top to bottom, offense, defense, and special teams. They return most of their guys from last year. So when you have a 3-year starter, you know, at quarterback, and now they're also playing a really young athletic quarterback as well, we'll probably see both. You'll see an experienced guy that's going to probably be a better thrower, and then the younger guy's a little bit more of an athletic runner who can still throw, but you know, as a first year, probably doesn't have the same type of depth in the offense yet, just because of the experience that the senior has. But you know, I think from, you know, if Papantonis is healthy at running back, all the way through to some of the receivers, Johnson at the wide receiver position is as athletic as any receiver in our conference. You know, experience at the O-line. There's a reason why, you know, again, similar to our offense and defense, they usually do a really good job keeping teams from scoring, and their offense typically gives a lead. They possess the ball. So there's a lot of similarities between the two teams in terms of how they're winning.
They have a couple of wide receivers who run the ball a lot. Is that, do they run jet sweep action where you could, because that can be effective against an aggressive defense because you have to pause a second and make sure that receiver's not coming around.
Absolutely, yeah. So they have a couple receivers that I would say their quick game, their screens, is they want to stretch the field sideline to sideline using, you know, jet sweeps, bubble screens, misdirection, so run one way, throw the other direction. And that's what's kind of worked against us at times, is using our aggressiveness against them. The other part I say is a lot of those completions are short, then you got to tackle well. You know, can they catch it and then go get runs after the catch and run after contact? And I just think in general, they usually don't hold the ball a lot as a quarterback. They usually are trying to make their decisions and get it out quickly. And they're, like I said, I think probably about a, you know, 68-70% type of run team, you know, overall. It sways a little bit differently depending on how well you're running. But if you have Papatonis in the background, you know, you're going to hand it off a lot, and that's pretty smart, similar to how we're going to get EJ his touches in the running back. They're going to get him his touches both in the run and the pass game.
Defensively, they have 16 sacks, and they get a lot of them from the front four. So the D-line is going to get after the quarterback, and then, you know, Tawa, their cornerback, with 7 picks. So you got to be careful where you throw it against them.
Yeah, and I think that's where the last week or two they've had one or two guys that haven't played as much for them on defense. But across the board, experience, I mean, their entire secondary has been 2 or 3 year starters. So, and they're you know, a cover four, like put four deep, keep everything underneath you, blanket, and then they have linebackers that can run and blitz, but they're getting most of their pressures from the four-man front. They'll stand up a pretty athletic linebacker, rush DN type guy that he might be up there leading the league in sacks or up there for tackles for a loss. A lot of stunts, a lot of movements, and then they'll insert linebacker pressure similar to us. So, you know, a lot of credit to them. They're a bend but don't break type of defense. They usually have not given up some big plays. Last week they uncharacteristically gave up a couple big plays. But they are usually going to make you drive and have to, like, convert third and fourth downs. And they're really sound in what they do. They're going to be in the right spots, very similar to what RPI was defensively in terms of, you know, very similar in a lot of coverages and some of the things that they did. Just slightly different personnel and experience. And then you talked about their boundary corner. He's really good. I mean, he'll be an All-American just based off of how many pass breakups and interceptions he has. Like, to his credit, I mean, and he's been a starter since he's been a freshman. Like, he's seen almost everything. They're not afraid to put him on an island back there. He'll be one of the better corners that we're going to face all year long.
You scouting Johns Hopkins yet?
Who's that? Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins is a very good team. We have not looked anything past Rochester right now.
That's what I figured. Coach Kevin DeWall, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Appreciate all your coverage.
You can find this podcast wherever you go to get your podcast, be it Spotify or Google or Apple or any of those. And, of course, get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Hobart and U of R Centennial Cup Saturday, 1 o'clock at Boswell Field. And we'll see you for the playoff edition coming up.